Okay, for the tape, let's start over again. So my name is Daryl Brand. I have a website called Harmonics of Healing, and I figured out the vibrational structure. Hello, come on in. Have a seat any place. There's plenty. So this is a view of the universe from a string theory point of view, that this at the very top is physical reality. That's this stuff. And this is like floating sort of like a crust on top of this huge energetic sea here that falls below this. And as soon as you fall down below this crust, anything remotely resembling physical reality totally disappears. We fall into the molecular level, and even here at the molecular level, there's nothing that even remotely resembles physical reality. It all becomes an energetic sea at that point. And the same thing, just as the ocean is in striations, okay, for temperature and light, well, that's what this is as well. They've found out that they call this a sea of prana. You've probably heard that. Well, it's because it has the characteristics of a sea, the same as the ocean. And as you fall down into this, you fall into more and more refined levels, more and more refined states of being, and it becomes simpler and simpler until you fall into what's called the unified field, which is what Einstein was searching for his whole life. That has been uncovered, and that really exists at the very bottom of it. This is where all of physical reality manifests from. All the laws of nature come from this unified field. This is another word for God. Okay, God becomes kind of confusing, so, and scientifically they call it the unified field. And this is where all the laws of chemistry come from, all the laws of biology, all the laws of physiology, all of them emanate from this unified field. And what they found is that when they could actually get to this unified field, and instead of just being sort of a unified field, what they found is that it's made of 192 fundamental frequencies of consciousness. Made of 192 fundamental frequencies. And it's showing from a string theory point of view that we live in a total symphony. Okay, there's nothing remotely even resembling physical reality. It's all just a vast sea of energy. And it's posing itself sort of as physical matter, but it's all composed of frequencies. And this same diagram, I'm going to just move it over, and we'll see. So that's physical reality there. And this other field is consciousness. This is coming from, this part was coming from string theory, current view of string theory. This is coming from the Vedas. They're saying that the Vedas and the actual consciousness, what we call us, or when you say I, that's what they're meaning by consciousness, that also is coming from this unified field. It's made of the same exact things as physical reality is. That's why your thoughts are going to create physical reality, and vice versa, that your physical reality will create thoughts. But it's more important that the energetic aspects is what creates physical reality. It's not so much physical reality creating this, it's this creates this. And see, the Vedas have been out there for thousands of years, and everybody, you know, the Rig Vedas, okay? And they're showing here that string theory is actually the same exact thing. It's all coming from the same field, this unified field of consciousness. And so as a healer, I was looking at this. I came across this, and I said, geez, this would be really kind of neat if you could figure this out, because here you would have, you got your physical body. It's created here, and that's created of the 192 fundamental frequencies of consciousness, of frequencies. And then also you have the mental, emotional aspects of your being here. And so if you could figure out the 192 fundamental frequencies, which is what that unified field was made of, you would have both of those combined. And so I was looking at it and saying, geez, well, this part here, I would need a particle accelerator, and I don't have one of those in my backyard. So this is out. Okay, and I wasn't going to be able to rent one either. And so, but this part, the Vedas, they just talk about the chakra petals. And the chakra petals, the chakra petal frequencies, basically, I had that all figured out. These are the chakra petals here. And this is actually a representation of the physical body. These petals are actually vibrations of all the different body parts, all the different joints, and are actually the structure of the body. There we have two arms and two legs. This is like the symbol of it. And these petals here, going around here, are the various joints and channels that go through the body. So, and are actually the energetic template that creates the physical body, that we have two arms, two legs, a trunk, and a head. That's what this symbol is. That's what this represents, really. We don't really know a whole bunch about this in Western culture, but as I was working with this and figuring this stuff out, this became evident that's what that was. And that's the basis for the whole concept that I did in terms of figuring out the whole structure of the body. And these petals I had figured out already before I got to this stuff. This is really all channeled material. How it came about was, let's see. I had studied energy work, and it came back to Buffalo, and nobody wanted to talk to me, basically back in the 90s, you know. And it's just this one woman I met in the Course in Miracles. She was a lot older than I was. Her name was Joan. And Joan always asked me all these questions about my practice, because I was a cranial sacral therapist and a polarity therapist and an orthobiomy practitioner and an esoteric healer. And I studied energetic medicine for years, and you know, it was really disheartening to come back to Buffalo and have nobody want to talk to me, you know, with all this training. And I'm saying, oh, well, you know, this is what reality is. You know, it's not this medicine and stuff that people are so bogged down in. It's like, this is real. You know, I mean, it's the energetic aspect that is the makes up all of reality, basically, and is some of the major contributors to illness and disease. And so Joan kept asking me all these questions, and she was the only person that would really even talk to me. And so finally I asked her, you know, I said, why are you asking me all these questions? And she says, well, my husband Al was the head physician at Buffalo General Hospital for 15 years. And this is when, like, Buffalo was really a major city, and Buffalo General Hospital was like one of the top hospitals in the world, and he was like the top doc. And he would come back, and she would say, yeah, it was about once a week he'd come home and he'd say, you know, drugs and surgery really don't work, we just don't know what else to do. And you know, when I heard that, I said, oh, okay, you know. So Joan and I became really good friends at that point. And we would go out walking in Niagara Falls because I live right by the falls. And one day I said, you know, if you die first, why don't you help me from the other side? And if I die first, I'll help you from the other side. And so she said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And I up and moved, and she ended up having a stroke. And it was really wild. I was living in Jacksonville, and I was walking along Jacksonville Beach one night, and I look up into the stars, and Joan's face is staring down at me, the stars. You know, and I was like, whoa, boy, what is this? And I say, well, I think Joan transitioned, and it came down through the grapevine that she actually did. And so I didn't think much more about the whole thing. And I've been trying to figure out the vibrational structure of the body. So I'm a classically trained musician, and I was trying to put together sound and healing, you know, because I had real intense training in both, and I knew that there had to be a link there, okay? And anything that I tried just, it was really vague, you know. I mean, I was doing bowls and tuning forks, and they worked, but it was, you know, this thing kind of in the back of my head kept saying, you know, Daryl, you're going to be able to, like, play every single organ of the body. It's like you'll be able to play this eye and this ear and the frontal lobe of the brain and this wrist and this wrist and differentiate between those. And I kept hearing this voice saying that, and I would pick up a musical instrument, so I play just about all musical instruments, and could never make the link between the instrument and doing healing work. It just, there seemed to be a gap in there someplace. And so, this connection to Joan, all of a sudden, about a year after she dies, I start giving all this information on harmonics. It literally started being downloaded into me. And I'm scribbling this down on pieces of paper in a Starbucks restaurant. And all of a sudden, I sort of look at it and go, man, I don't know any of this, you know. And it's like, and I'm writing it. And so it's like, and because by this time, I had read just about all the information that was out there on sound and healing, and there wasn't anything like this. And I finally, you know, looked back and I said, oh, geez, this isn't me doing this. And so I kind of looked up, there's pressure on the top of my head, and I look up and I go, who's doing this? And I heard Joan's voice go off. She goes, it's me. She was this old Italian grandmother, you know, with a real distinct voice. And I said, Joan? And she said, yeah, I'm just fulfilling our bargain, don't you remember? She says, this is how we heal on this side, and now what I'm doing is giving it down to you so you can use it on your side. So I worked with this for about 6 months and started seeing the vastness that was there. I mean, I was working with strokes and car accidents and things that weren't supposed to be healed, and they were like, you know, straightening out on the table. And I'm going, holy cow, what is this stuff? And so finally, you know, Joan is still in contact with me, and I said, you know, with all due respect, Joan, you couldn't know this, you know, because, like, she was my student when she was living on the earth plane, and I didn't know any of this. And here I was, a classically trained musician. She had studied clarinet in elementary school. So, I mean, you can know how much musical experience she had. She comes from a medical family. Her husband was a doctor. Her kids were like brain surgeons and stuff. So she was really immersed in the allopathic world. And this was, you know, major metaphysics and major healing and major musical stuff, and I'm going, man, Joan, you couldn't have learned all this, you know. I mean, it's like I understand this sort of, you know, that now that you're giving it to me, but man, I've been studying this stuff my whole life, you know. And so I said, you know, who's really doing this? And I look up and there's like Joan is smiling down at me here, and then her husband Al, the doctor, was like above her and he was feeding her anatomy and physiology. And then there were like some of my teachers, Dr. Stone and Dr. Sutherland, who did polarity and cranial work. And then a whole bunch of people who I didn't recognize, going all the way back to Pythagoras, who developed what's called the Lambdoma keyboard, or the Lambdoma, which, hi, come on in. He developed the Lambdoma, which basically is what this is. This is a, the Lambdoma keyboard is really the true musical aspects. You see, the music that we hear is averaged. It's like when you play music on piano, it's like they've averaged the notes. So they're no longer really geometrically correct, which is what music is. Music is very, very mathematically precise. And to make it so that it's more pleasing to the ears, what they did was they averaged a bunch of the notes so that they could be played together. And but this is actually the the geometric representation of the true waveforms of the music. And this is what I use. I use a Lambdoma keyboard. And physically, physically, this is the Lambdoma keyboard. You hook this up to a computer, basically, and then each one of these little diamonds is going to be another harmonic for it.
Did you make that, or did somebody sell those?
No, Barbara Hero sells these. Barbara Hero is from Maine, Wells, Maine. She has a site, Strawberry Hill Farm. So there were a couple things developing at the same time. One, Joan was feeding me this stuff on harmonics. And two, I was searching for a harmonic generator like this to use, because our regular instruments don't produce harmonics to the level that I knew I needed. And so, let's see. I go online and I found this. And I'm looking at it and saying, geez, you know, I think this is exactly what I need. The only problem was it was $2,000, which I didn't have. And I wanted to put my hands on this thing to make sure that it was going to do what I thought it was going to do. I wasn't going to send $2,000 over the internet and get a toy that didn't work and then have to figure out, you know, if I can get it back. So I sent Barbara an email. She said, I want to come up and play it, and she goes, yeah, sure, no problem. And in the meantime, this huge snowstorm comes in. I live in Buffalo, she lives up in Maine, and it meant that I had to drive all the way across New York State up into New England in January, you know. And I said, oh no, I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy. So I sent her an email saying, you know, I'm going to come in the spring. And so I'm laying there, I'm fiddling around with just a regular synthesizer, trying to figure out these notes that I'm hearing. And all of a sudden, this swirling starts to happen here up like in the ceiling. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and all of a sudden this voice comes through and it goes, Daryl, get the keyboard and get it now. And I said, whoa, I'm on my way. And so I went up and I got the keyboard. And came back and it was exactly what I needed. I'm going to need to run out to the restroom for a moment. And then I'll be back.
These look like they're all the same. Nope, they're not. Yes, they are. Okay.
Good. Are you a musician? Are you a musician?
No, but ever since I was a kid, there was a note I was looking for. And it was a really, really deep note, and pianos weren't deep enough, and bass notes aren't deep enough, and bass drums aren't deep enough. And, I mean, things that you could probably take a bath in aren't deep enough. And a friend of mine got interested in the notes that are associated with the chakras, and he found out what their actual modern musical definition in terms of what we would have to do physically to produce that note, vibrational note rates, and he produced them with a synthesizer, and one of them was, by God, that note.
But it was not a note that we can achieve on our instruments that we have.
Oh, actually it is. I mean, it's not like a standard musical thing, but he produced it, and I got it on okay. And it was the only one I'd ever heard that was deep enough.
What did he produce it on?
Some kind of synthesizer. I don't know how it is, but some kind of computer synthesizer. But,
what part of your body did that?
I don't know that it affects my physical body at all, except that I just know that he does it. And, I can't reach it myself vocally or anything. It's really
you're going right here, so...
Yeah, well, I sort of feel it here, but not totally. I mean,
yep.
It's not... I'm not sure it's physically located. But it was the one I've been looking for. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe some of the Tibetan singers can do whatever. A friend of mine had said that she hears people as music notes, and she said I had two. One was easy to match, and one was too deep for her, and she couldn't do it.
Wow.
So this is very, very interesting to me. I know a lot of psychics, so this did not sound at all peculiar to me.
I'm a newbie, so. It's all new to me.
Yeah. What's the man's name?
But I do know. There are messages coming loud and clear, and if you listen to them, they come louder.
There was a man who was working with bodily energy scientifically way back in the 1930s. He had been on some equipment and publishing his results in medical journals. I mean, he was a doctor, and he was getting them published because he was doing very precise experiments. And I'm blanking on his name, but he was the one who first proved to the medical community that it was possible for a woman to have a period and not have an egg, and vice versa, to have an egg and not have a period at the same time. Because he did it, proved it with the energy field.
Say that again. Have a period and not have an egg?
Yeah, I mean, because the ovulation is not tied to menstruation necessarily. In fact, it's only about 25% of women that actually have it, because the way they tell you with the textbook. And he proved with the energy field that you could have, you figured out what you would have to find on the field to have, that shows up when somebody ovulates, and a different thing was when you have your period. And he proved that they came at different times of the month very often. And using his system, some people who were ovulating at totally the wrong time of month. How much that's been good.
I did some of that Ormus, and it's doing its job.
Yeah, they didn't give me one of those surprise hours. It's doing the same thing.
Okay, so I went up, I got the keyboard from Barbara, and I started talking to her about my concept for using it, Because I was looking at it and saying, geez, you know, this should be able to heal every condition that's out there. By this time, you know, in studying energetically, I was kind of seeing that the body was made of frequencies, and if you could figure out the right frequencies, you should be able to clear everything out. See, because illness and disease is really just an accumulation of stress. That's all it is, and stress is just a frequency. That's all that is. See, and what happens with it, see, each part of the body has a certain frequency that it organizes around. So if we have that note, for instance, let's say that note is going to be the note that's going to be the organizer for the right wrist. Okay? So as long as that note remains coherent and pristine, the right wrist is just going to function like a right wrist. Because what it is, sound is an information carrier. So it's going to be, it carries the information that tells the wrist you're going to function like a wrist. It's like software, okay? As well as it's an address. It's telling the wrist you're going to be here, okay? We're in relationship to the body. So it's a program that's going to carry the information to tell the body part how it functions and where it's going to exist. And as long as that exists, it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, it all fits together. But what happens, let's say we fall on our wrist like this, slip on the ice, and fall down on it, so that this note becomes this note. All these other frequencies come in there, stress frequencies. Pain, fear, all that stuff come in to the wrist and superimpose into it. And so what happens, the cells don't know what program to follow because the stress frequencies are a program as well. It's like a virus that gets into your computer. It's like it limits the computer. Well, in the same way, all this other stuff limits the functioning of the wrist. The wrist frequency, that remains, okay, it's just the stress has been put on top of it, like that, okay, so what happens, the stress frequencies aren't as coherent as the biodynamic frequency. The biodynamic frequency is the frequency that the wrist organizes around, okay, or the whole body, and so what happens if you play and or subject the wrist to that note, it will clear out those notes, because those notes are much less stable. Okay? So the stress comes out just because of resonance theory. It forces the stress to leave. And then you're left just with the coherent wrist again. So the wrist comes back into a functional state. So it's really a very simple concept. And as I was looking at it and saying, geez, you know, this should be able to heal up all conditions if you can just figure out what the frequencies are. And I mean, that was a big if, but I said, well, this is a step in the right direction, is actually getting the keyboard. And so I started talking to Barbara about those concepts, and she says, well, you gotta start speaking about this stuff. And I said, well, you know, it's like I'm not a doctor and I don't have a book, and so I mean, who's gonna let me speak, you know? And so she said, well, you're gonna start this, they're gonna let you speak because I'm gonna tell them you're gonna speak, because I'm on the board of just about all the different things that are out there, because she became world famous for making this thing, and she couldn't really explain it really well. And I come along and with my background and musical training and training in healing, it's like I kind of could explain this more to people in straight English, and they understood it a lot more. And so she So within like a month or so, I was out speaking opposite her. She said, you know, you're going to speak because I'm going to tell them you're going to speak, and if they won't let you speak, I'll just give you my time. And so within a month, I was out speaking on a national circuit on this, and then gradually it developed that first I developed the chakra pedal frequencies, this part. As I said, this is an architectural structure of the body, basically. It serves a couple of things. It's a step-down process. It steps energy down from cosmic energy into energy that the Earth can use. See, that's why we came here, actually, is that we're really high spiritual beings and who volunteered to come to the Earth to help the Earth go through an ascension process. And this is the system that is incorporated into us to actually lower the energy of the sun down so that the Earth can use it. We act sort of like antennas, sort of like transducers. It's like we step that energy down. We've totally lost track of that, but that's actually why we've come here. And this system actually is that system that allows that to happen, which that should be happening very shortly, from what I've understood. So I had that figured out, and I worked with that for a good couple of years until got to a point where this is the joints of the body, like the wrist and the elbow and the shoulder and the knee and the hip and the ankle. This will take care of like any kind of limb problem that the person may have. And you've probably heard the term that health is a free flow of energy. What they're talking about is this system being opened up. And once that happens, then the energetics of the body flow, energy flows through the body. And this is at the deepest level. This is like at a bone marrow level. And once this opens up, then all the superficial meridians will open up, all the arteries and veins will open up, all the joints will start to function better, things like arthritis clear out, things like bursitis, any kind of joint problems, bone problems, they all clear out because those are a lot of times just a stuck energy going on with the person. And so I figured this out. This wasn't that very difficult to figure that out. And I worked with this for quite a while, and people kept coming in with organ problems, you know, liver and spleen and stuff. And I say, well, you know, I can work with joints, arms, and legs and stuff, but I don't know how so much to work with organs. And so I put out to Joan that I'd like to learn how to play the organs. And she said, well, study astrology. And I said, study astrology? I mean, I don't want to be an astrologer. I'm a healer. And she says, study astrology. And so the first book I pick up says, the planets rule the organs. If you know medical astrology, it's like the planets correspond directly to the organs. And so by this time I had read and knew that there were different ways that you could figure out the frequency of the planet. You know, there's the sidereal rotation and different rotations, and so I was fooling around with those. And sure enough, it turns out the sidereal rotation is actually the frequency of the organs, the functioning of the organs. And as I was going along, I was looking at it, and there's this huge amount of information on medical astrology. You go to any other country in the world, and there's a lot of the doctors are astrologers, that they'll actually cast your chart, you know. And so as I was looking at this, I figured out all of the frequencies of the planets and then started working with both planets and the chakra stuff. So I've got turns out the planets are actually sort of the functioning of the system. It's the verb, the action. It's like we have a digestive system that is composed of stomach and esophagus and small intestine. And then we have the system of digestion that digests it, the verb. The planets are actually the verb, and the chakra system, it turns out, is actually the organs. And so I worked with the planets on one hand and the chakra system on another. And this was over a period of many years, actually, probably 4 or 5 years at least, that I just worked with that. And let's see. I figured out the fifth chakra here. The fifth chakra is supposed to be the eyes and ears and nose and throat. Basically the senses of the body. And I made that, and as I was listening to it, I listened to these things laying down in bed, because it brings up all kinds of unconsciousness, and so it was like you fall down anyways when you listen to it. And so I figured I may as well just lay down to begin with. That way I'm in bed, and if, when I conk out, you just conk out. And so I'm listening to this fifth chakra, and I start to notice my head moving. And I open my eyes up, and I'm still in the exact, you know, it's like I knew my head moved, but it's like it hadn't moved, you know. And I'm a cranial sacral therapist, and I get up and I look in the mirror, and I see that my cranial patterns had changed, which, I mean, that's not supposed to happen. You know, I mean, you know, if you know cranial work, it's like usually it takes years of work to change a cranial pattern. And here they were changing in like an hour, you know, and I'm going, holy cow, what is this stuff? And so people started coming to see me. You know, this stuff is really spiritually guided, big time. You probably pick that up, and living it, it's even more so, you know, that I see. And so people started coming to see me and saying, you know, yeah, they went through a car windshield and, you know, got their head all smashed up, and did I have anything for car accidents? And I said, well, you know, this fifth chakra thing seems to have some correlation to the skull bones, but I don't know what the correlation is. And they say, well, you know, let me try it. And so they take it home, and they come back, and they'd say, yeah, it fixed it, you know. And I knew there was some sort of a correlation here between the throat chakra and the cranial bones. I wasn't sure what exactly it was, but as I was going along, I can take these petals. These petals are specific frequencies, and I can record them separate from what's called the bija sound, which is the main sound of the chakra. So you got the main sound of the chakra, okay, and that's pretty much standard out there. The notes that they talk about aren't the right notes, but they're close enough. And then I can generate these harmonics from it, and I can mix and match so that I can play these harmonics separately and play it like against this bija sound. Okay. And so as I was going along with this, I said, you know, geez, I wonder if I did that, whether I would get more specific cranial bones, you know, and I'd be able to be a little bit more specific, because I had no idea what was going on here, and there's no manual for this. I mean, I was figuring this out as I was going along. And so I took this and played it against this, and sure enough, all the cranial bones went off. As I went through each of these petals, each of these different petals were like a different cranial bone. So
those are all harmonic.
Yeah, those are all harmonics of the fifth chakra. So I'm going to change into Hans Jenny, in his work Cymatics, showed that sound will create a mandala. Okay? And he further showed that the sound creates the spaces, where the mandala is, or the physical mandala is where the sound isn't. Okay, so in our case, if we look at ourselves, we're really just a whole bunch of spaces put together. So the digestive system is just a tube, the respiratory system is just a tube, bones are just tubes, muscles are really just tubes. All of that are just tubes. And so you see what happens, the harmonic will actually be the address for the space. Okay, it's sort of like a jello mold. The harmonic puts up a jello mold that, like, the bone goes into. So you've got a number of different harmonics, and like there'll be a harmonic that'll generate this space, and then another harmonic that'll generate this space, and another one that'll generate this space. And so when you put these harmonics together, what happens is you have the template of, this is the frontal bone, this is the frontal bone here, or whatever bone we're talking about. It's like the harmonic, it's just, it makes a jello mold, okay, an energetic mold that the bone forms into. And as long as the harmonics are pristine, that bone is going to stay in place. What happens when the bone becomes, or the sounds become adulterated, the bone won't be in place. It'll be shifted, okay? Like if you have a car accident or something that's superimposing stress into it, and it shifts that out of there. And so what happens, and when you play the harmonic of it, it will clear that stress out, and it will come back into its original address. Okay? And so I was figuring that out as we're going along, and I finally call up some cranial psychotherapists of friends of mine and said, you know, I figured out the cranial sutures. Should be nirvana to a cranial psychotherapist, right? And they said, well, that's good, but I don't really do much with bones anymore. I work just with the cranial nerves. See if you can figure out the cranial nerves. And I said, well, geez, I do spaces. I know how to figure out the space of it, you know, this thing, but I don't know how, but what the nerves are. But I knew that there were 12 pair of cranial nerves. And because as a cranial psychotherapist, I work with cranial nerves. And so as I was looking at this, I'm saying, well, you know, if this is this stuff, then I should be able to find nerves on here someplace. And so the only chakra that has 12 petals on it is the heart chakra. And I said, well, you know, I use an overtone and an undertone for it, which is a balanced frequency. And that is going to give me like the yin and yang aspect, or a pair of, the cranial nerves are in pairs. It's like, you know, going out and coming back in. And so I said, well, I wonder if I take these harmonics and play it against the Ajna chakra here, which is where the cranial nerve should be, up here in the brain. And sure enough, as I did that, it's like each one of my cranial nerves fired off as I went through each of these different petals all the way through. And so I looked at that and I said, well, if that's true, then this is probably the whole nervous system. And if that's true, then there should be 12 pair at the cervical, there should be 12 pair at the thoracic, 12 pair at the lumbar, 12 pair at the sacrum, and 12 pair at the perineum. And I pull out my anatomy and physiology chart, and there was 12 pair of nerves at the cervical, 12 pair of nerves at the thoracic, 12 at the lumbar, 12 at the sacrum, and 12 at the perineum. And so within like a half an hour's worth of time that I figured out that that had to be the whole the way the body was patterned using the chakra system and using these frequencies made up the whole body. If the nerves followed this and the cranial bones followed this, I reasoned that the muscles had to be the same, the arteries and veins had to be the same, and the organs had to be the same, because they're all going to follow the same principle, and they did. And so it took me like 7 or 8 years to get there, but by the time I got there, it only took me like a half an hour to figure out the rest of the whole body. And so I made the CDs of it, and started going around speaking and selling the CDs, which I have been doing for the last year or so. Let's see. Any questions so far? It's
these vibrations, these sounds, okay, that you're producing, does the body produce them naturally when they're not stressed in and of itself?
Yes.
And do you think the Sanskrit language correlates, you know, when they do chanting in Sanskrit, correlate to the sounds that you have discovered?
Yeah, I work with the Sanskrit first, actually. I worked with the mantra. Each one of the body parts, each one of these petals has a mantra associated with it.
Right.
And that's actually the vibrational sound of the joint and organ. And I work with that first. This kind of emerging all at the same time. I was working with that and working with the vibration, and I figured out the mantras first. It was quite a while ago that I did that, but yeah, there's a direct correlation.
So you're saying that way back, they figured out this system of mantras that were self-healing, and you're saying you figured out a system whereby you could actually listen and get the same type of healing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They figured out the mantras and have written it down, and I was listening to a CD by Lane Redman, Chanting the Chakras, I think it is. And I was going to teach a class on chakras, and I was just looking for a CD to play while I was doing this. And boy, I put that CD on, and they were just chanting the mantras. And as soon as it went off, I said, "Holy cow!
Yeah.
What is this? You know, I mean, this has got some pizzazz to it. This ain't just, you know, some new age da 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 da." And so I started working with it and found that there was a booklet with it, and then I worked with that for months, just opening everything up, just chanting the mantras. It's called Lane Redman Chanting the Chakras.
Redmond.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still available anymore. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, she's still around.
Yeah. I know she is. I don't know if the CD is still around. Because it was many years ago. This was probably 2002, 2003. or so that I was doing that.
I'm just coming from a yogic background, and we, you know, chant the mantras.
Yeah.
And what's impressed to us a lot is the importance of the correct tone and enunciation. And now you have given me the understanding of why.
Yeah.
It took me 1,000 years to get to the tone.
Yeah. I just listened to that CD, and she obviously had the right stuff, the right juice to it. And so that made me realize that there was a, well, the mantras were really connected to the body big time, and you could really clear up a lot of stuff. I was developing some arthritis in the wrist, and it's like, you know, it just cleared it right up. And once that happened, I realized that, you know, there was a lot to this. And it see, as in polarity, I had studied chakras, but I think they've watered down the whole chakra concept, and being that they've watered it down, it's totally ineffective. And what she did, and what I've been discovering, is the real thing, okay? And because it's physics. It's very, very, very precise wave theory. It's not averaged, and they averaged it, and when they averaged it, it just it made it so it didn't work, basically. Because I worked with it for, as a polarity practitioner, I worked with it for a while, and I said, this doesn't work.
So when you say they averaged it, the instruments and the different scales of, I'm not a musician, but I do know, basically, that other countries have different scales and instruments that produce different notes. Have we, when you say we have generalized it, do you mean we as Americans?
Or yeah, Western cultures. Indigenous cultures, I think, still have it tuned right. You see, to make like, so that this thing, all these notes, played together harmoniously, what happens, they had to like smudge and bend a few of them. Whereas this is like pure wave theory. It's geometric, it's mathematical. Okay. And this doesn't sound well, when you first start, this doesn't necessarily sound really good to the ear, because we're so used to this.
Right.
But what happens after you play this for a little bit, this you start realizing that this is really what we're tuned to. And this begins to sound really, really nice, and this stuff starts to sound really, really bad. Basically, it's this, people say, like, this is like coming home, okay? And to listen to them, listen to them separately like that, it's really, it's kind of difficult. I do have, this is an abundance CD that I give out. It's my information, my website, and everything is on there. That you can go into that and see. It's really quite extensive. I think there's like 450 CDs of the whole body in a number of different patterns. I've got the frequencies of consciousness figured out, as well as the whole body, and it's what you see is what you get. So for instance, if you want a chakra, you can get it, chakra frequencies. If you want the liver, you can get a liver CD. If you want the right leg, you can get the right leg. If you want the eye, you can get the eye. Frequencies of help, intuition, and clairvoyance and clairaudience, all that stuff. The whole energy system, all that stuff is in there. Yeah, I've got, there's a number of spines. One will actually open it up, will be the spaces between the spine. Then I have just the back CD, as well as the spinal column. Yeah, you just go into the website and you can find that. I'm also working on the harmonics of ascension. Which I had a client in Rochester. He's the strangest client that I ever had. He was divorced and had a couple families that he was supporting, and just sort of an average job, and he just, for some reason, thought it was imperative that he come to see me every month for years, and there was nothing wrong with him. You know, there was, like, normally people would come because they were in a car accident, or, you know, they had some problems that they wanted to deal with. Well, he didn't have any of that, and he met me, and he just started coming to see me, and every time we'd finish the session, he'd say, well, can I come back next month? And I said, well, sure, you know, we'll set up a time. And this went on for years. And so one of the things that I can do is, I've had a couple near-death experiences, and I can just look at people and see what their life purpose is and what dimension or what planet they've actually manifested from. And I had decided I was going to stop doing this because it was bad for business. You know, people would come in with a headache and they'd turn into like elves and fairies. They'd manifest as an elf and a fairy in my room, and they'd see themselves as an elf and a fairy because their whole body would change. It was like the dimension that they had a parallel life going on, that parallel life would actually manifest in the room, and they would manifest in the other dimension, you know, switch dimensions. And I was okay with it, but I was saying, geez, you know, this, I mean, I don't know, you know, the people were freaking out because they thought that I was doing this, you know, in a way I was, I guess, in a way they were doing it. And so I decided I was going to stop doing that. And he comes in and he starts talking about, he was a salesman. He said, yeah, you know, this was like September. And he said, yeah, I just stopped underneath this apple tree and I was gazing up at the clouds. And whenever I do that, I seem to get carried away. And as he's doing this, he's turning into an alien. You know, and I'm sitting there watching him, and his head changes, and his whole body changes, and his hands change, and, you know, I'm going, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to stay with cranial work or something, a little bit more safer stuff. And so I said, you know, I'm going to try to jolt him out of this stuff by asking him a question. So I said, you know, why do you keep coming back here? You know, and figuring that it would pop him back into being, you know, who he was in this life. And he said, well, the last place I was at, it was really beautiful. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and everybody was gone. And the next thing I knew, I was here on Earth and I met you. And I realized that you could get me to a point when everybody leaves this time that I'll leave with them. And I went, whoa, what is this guy talking about? You know, and so I went and talked to a friend, and turns out this guy's like a laggard is what they're called. It's like when a planet ascends, certain amount of people don't do the work. And so they can't pop, they can't do the vibrational shift, basically, for it. And then they can't stay on the old planet because everybody else is gone, basically. And they can't be a civilization by themselves, so they end up manifesting on a planet that's going to ascend shortly. And that's what he was doing. He was on a planet that ascended and didn't do the work. And so then he came to Earth and he realized that I could help him get up to a level or a vibratory level that when the Earth shifted, that he would be able to shift with it. And so that's what a lot of this stuff is. It really raises up your vibration. It raises it up so that I think you're ready to do the shift. There's that, and there's sun gazing that I'll be talking about later this afternoon. That's also a way of increasing your vibratory level. Yeah, so after that I became a believer in the ascension process. You know, until then, and that was like back like in the mid-90s before any of the ascension concept was out there. And this guy, he didn't know any of that stuff. So I do believe that, he was coming from the truth. When you get into those energies, it's like you can't make that stuff up for it. So I think that that's probably what's going to be happening. So any questions on anything?
Yeah. When I was a kid, there was a note that I was always looking for. Not years ago at all, really. I'd hit the bottom end of the piano and it wasn't deep enough.
Yeah.
And a year or so ago, a friend of mine got into the chakra sounds and came up with the mechanical definition of what the note ought to be, and he produced them on some kind of synthesizer, and one of them was that note. And I've never found it anywhere else. I mean, bass drums were nowhere near deep enough. So I was wondering if that would match yours, if you have any of the notes available.
Probably, but I'm not sure what it would be.
Yeah. I've got the MPEG on a thumb drive.
Yeah, if you want to get that, I'll take a look at it and see.
What was the where was this woman that created this?
She's in Wells, Maine.
Well, what was her, what brought her to do that?
She claimed that she channeled it from Pythagoras.
Okay, but what was her background? Where was she going with this?
She was an artist. She was an artist, and she did some healing work. But when I met her, she had all kinds of illnesses. And I said, "Man, you got one of these things, and you're sick. I mean, that's inconceivable to me." But because she didn't know how to use it, I don't think she just was the channel.
She didn't know how to use it. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. She manifested it, but didn't really adequately know how. So you can go on the website and take a look at all the different CDs that are on there, and you can order right off the website, or you can call me up. Okay, so thanks.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I take one of these?
Oh, yeah, sure.